Stan Dale, do you see a difference between a tragedy with, let's say, a radiological bomb or some kind of biological problem?
Do I see a difference between them? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that could affect us.
Yes, the biological bomb, if properly released in the country, can cause much more damage and much longer-lasting damage than a nuclear device. Because it can be propagated by people, carried all over the place without detection, in time anyway. So, in fact, it's been called the poor man's atomic bomb. It doesn't take very much to make a lot of very lethal stuff and then just make a delivery system. And when you got people that are wanting to commit suicide to do things like that, it's pretty easy to get it into a target area.
Well, that's true.
I'm just trying to think, there's a government agency, the Health and Human Services, wasn't it, that's put out, been getting people ready to, like organizations of government, ready to handle flu epidemics and things like that, or even pandemics. And they're making announcements about it. I just can't remember where it was, but I saw it in the last couple of days. There was a news article on it.
On our website, we have a link today to every single state's plan for a pandemic. So whether or not, you know, the general population believes it to be a real event, we're certainly getting ready on a state level.
How many things can you get ready for, Holly, before too much is too much?
Well, it's not like you have to get ready for every single event. Generally speaking, if you are prepared, you're going to be prepared for most things. There are certain changes you have to make. For instance, if you were preparing for a nuclear event versus a chemical attack, for a nuclear event, you want to be as far underground as you can get, or at least protected. Conversely, for a chemical event, you want to be up, because that stuff falls to ground. But, you know, before we totally take a left turn off of that, Stan and I were just chatting today over lunch about all of the things that are happening right now. Say in the last 2 weeks, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and how much can people take?
Well,
and does it get to a point, Holly, where it's just protect me, protect my family, or should we worry about everybody else? I mean, I would hate pulling the old Twilight Zone bit, where a guy built a bomb shelter and his community thought that there was going to be some kind of a missile attack. And they're all smashing his house, and they're trying to get in, and he's locked inside. And it was just a horrible situation on what happens to, I think, humankind during a disaster.
I remember that.
Yeah,
I do, too. That was creepy. But you
what
know,
do we do?
We don't have to go to those extremes. In fact, we don't recommend that people, as long as you're speaking of fallout shelters, go to that extreme. For one, they're just way too expensive, and many people can't afford them, and then they feel discouraged before they even get out of the chute.
Sure.
You can very easily, this is something we were going to discuss down the road here, but as long as we're on this path, I'll go ahead and tackle this. You can build what they call an expedient shelter right in your home. But even more simply than that, once a nuke goes off, you don't want to panic. The first thing you do is you want to look up and see which way the cloud of fallout is moving.
Well, if you see the cloud, are you too close anyway?
Well, no, because you can see it. Say, you know, it's going to be a large cloud. Let's use a 10 kiloton bomb as our example here. If you see this cloud as it starts to move through the wind, it's going to take on a very specific shape. It's going to look like a cloud that you would see before a tornado hits, an anvil-shaped cloud. And the direction that it is moving is going to be rounded. It's going to be pointy. So you'll be able to tell exactly which direction it's going. Now, say you've got about a 10-mile-per-hour wind, and it's pretty constant. It's not going to whip the cloud around, and so it will be about 2.5 miles across. So if you're 40 miles away, and this is traveling 10 miles an hour, you've got 4 hours to get out of the way.
And how far will it keep going?
Well, it will go for hundreds of miles.
Oh, it will. All right.
Yeah. And in fact, about 30% of this fallout is never, ever going to hit Earth. It will just continue to circle in the upper atmosphere long after we're dead.
Causing
many, many, many years.
Causing whatever havoc it may cause over the years. Maybe some people coming down with cancers.
Well, if it stays up in the air, it's not going to land down here. It's the first fallout that you have to be most careful of, because the heaviest particles contain the most radiation, and they're going to fall to ground first. The further downwind you go, it's going to get very, very tiny, these particles. But they're still dangerous.
How big is ground zero with something that size?
Oh, I think in their book, I've got a map on that, that for a 1 megaton blast, you've got about 7.25 miles that is really going to be tough.
That's a 1 megaton. That's a big bomb.
Yeah,
that's
1 megaton.
Okay.
Now, if you're looking at a 25 megaton, you've got trouble about 30 miles out.
Okay.
But we're going to look at a 1 kiloton, because that is...
Now, a suitcase, Holly or Stan, a suitcase nuke would be how big? What would its power be?
Well, you'd see suitcases probably be in the 1 to 5 kiloton range. A 10 kiloton nuke is more like a
missile.
An artillery shell, a tactical thing shot out of a cannon. But I mean, it's possible they could smuggle in things big enough like that. But I'd say what she's talking about here is probably going to be 1 to 5 kiloton delivery, because they could sneak them around very easily.
Now, we really do have good news about this.
What do you mean, good news?
Well,
hey.
It's very survivable. You know, we tend to think in terms of a nuke. We go, holy cow, I'm going to go slip my wrist, it's done. But that's not at all the case. As I started to explain to you, when you see which way this cloud of fallout is moving, you want to go perpendicular to it. Now think about this. If the cloud is only 2.5 miles across,
right,
even if you were smack dead under it, you would only have to walk 1.25 miles to get to safety, either direction. If it's going west to east, you want to walk either north or south 1.25 miles, and you're out of danger.
And you just got to make sure you're going faster than the cloud.
Well, that's it. And, you know, easily you can hoof it out a mile in 15 minutes. That's a fairly, you know, not hard brisk, but just a brisk walk.
Well, don't these, though, go off in a radius where they just go out, you know, in general and make a big circle?
Well, yeah, you're thinking probably...
You're thinking of, there's two things there. You're thinking of a blast and then the direct radiation.
Right.
And if you're out in the open and close enough within that circular blast radius, you'll get a dose. If you get 500 Rinkens, kiss it goodbye.
Yeah.
But
the thing of it is, the chance of you being at ground zero are pretty slim. Unless you have an all-out attack like, say, by Russia or somebody that's got a lot of nukes and they come over and pummel you, there's a lot of real estate in America. And if, you know, you're thinking of the blast as opposed to the fallout, and they're immensely different things.